Hosea chapter 11. Sorry, it's not in the Accessible Bible because we've only got the New Testament in the Accessible Bible. But in the Red Church Bibles, page 908, Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burnt incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like the one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them, because they refuse to repent? A sword will flash in their cities. It will devour their false prophets and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even though they call me God Most High, I will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come from Egypt trembling like sparrows, from Assyria fluttering like doves. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Open and I will pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for this book. And Lord, we pray that we would hear it, be challenged by it, and apply it to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of us have heard a parent's anguish talk about their biggest problem in life, their teenagers. Perhaps you were a teenager I'm about to introduce. Perhaps you're a parent of a teenager I'm about to introduce. Perhaps you are a grandparent of a teenager that I'm about to introduce to you. Or somebody who lived next door, or an uncle or an aunt. But actually, this is the story I'm going to tell you. A 16-year-old and her parents were engaged in a constant battle. At this point, they're barely speaking to her family. And several nights in the last month, she's not come home. The daughters lied to them, deceived them, and found a way to turn their tables on them by saying, well, it's all your fault. The mother spends a night standing by the window, staring out into the darkness, waiting for her daughter to come home. She feels so angry, so furious that she's been manipulated by her, and she has deliberately hurt them both. But the mother knew, however, that her daughter was hurting herself more than them. And yet, when her daughter came home that night, or probably the next morning, the mother wanted nothing more than to wrap her arms around her, to tell her that she loved her, and she wanted the best for her. She was helpless, lovesick, wanted to, above all else, to forgive and begin anew. Her daughter was alive, safe and home. What parent wouldn't want that? That is the story of chapter 11 of Hosea. And it describes what's happening within Israel, as the video told us. God's chosen people know how best to wound him and hurt God. And we can see within this passage, through the prophet, God's anguish and pain coming out. We've already seen within Hosea the unforgettable picture of, he said going the wrong way, of a husband and wife as early as in the early chapters, Hosea and Gomer. And now we're seeing an equally memorable picture of nurturing, of God's nurturing love in the image of God as a parent and his people as children. The situation that it talks about assumes that some of Israel are already in captivity in Assyria, and actually it's a prophetic message for the people of Israel. And it's in four parts. So let's look at the first part, which is verses 1 to 4. And that is, let's look at the past and let's think about actually you came out of Egypt. This is where the parent and the child imagery is first introduced. Look with me at the first four verses. Look at the statements. They're all dominated by I statements. I loved, I called, I taught to walk, I took them up, I healed, I led them, I bent down to them. However, they are highly ungrateful. Verse 2, they sacrificed to Baals and they burnt incense to images. What's more, they were called, and what's more, they went away from me. We read of God the Father in this passage, not an indulgent father who is actually too worried about upsetting their children to set them boundaries, or a tyrannical father who demands loyalty and will pour down wrath upon them. It's actually much more of a parent who coaxes and supports his child's first steps, who picks the child up when they stumble and shows compassion over and over and over again, despite the fact the child hurts them. When we read, Israel was a child and I loved him, it's actually about the love of God for his people, for the covenant that he had for them. But they abandoned him, not because he was tough on them, but because he was kind and considerate. In verses 3 and 4, we read that God healed his people, led them with cords of human kindness. The message, which is a paraphrase translation by Eugene Peterson, says this: still I was stuck with them, yet like some know-it-alls, they were all self-centered teenagers, and they forgot or never realized they owed the relationship to me. Bringing children back into the world is a risk, and we never know how our children will turn out. The pain of parenting comes because children make choices which we cannot always affect. But God's love is a tough love because his children have walked away. They've transferred their loyalty, despite his love and his kindness and his compassion, to the Baals, to worshipping other gods, to not worshipping God. So the prophet, in the second part, announces actually what's the punishment. And there is consequences. Part two, back to Egypt. In these verses, it shifts. The I word goes, and actually it becomes they. Will they not return to Egypt? They refuse to repent. They are determined to turn away from me. My people are determined to turn away from me. It's about them. It's one which says they did wrong, but also an announcement of punishment. The expression of return to Egypt has a double meaning. It actually doesn't mean they'll go back to Egypt. It means they'll go to Assyria. Egypt, if you remember, if you know your Bible history, Egypt was a place that the children of Israel were in, and they were led out of captivity by Moses. So going back into Egypt is like describing going back into captivity, back into a place where they're oppressed. Back into punishment. So they would experience this again. And as the video said, they did experience that in 733 BC when the Assyrians came in, burnt everything down, and took everybody as slaves. And they would have punishment for the fact that they rebelled. Even though it seems pretty negative, there is a hope note within this. Verse 7. My people are determined to turn from me, even though they call me the Most High God. My people. My people. This is an indication that God knows the relationship is hugely strained. But it's not broken. It's not they're dead to me. It's not they will not be back. It's still saying, despite the fact they've hurt me, despite the fact they've walked away from me, they are still my people. Our relationship is strained. It's not broken. Let's take a moment to reflect on ourselves. What's your relationship with God like at the moment? Is it non-existent because you've actually never considered you needed one? Or is it one which is actually a bit strained at the moment? You're slightly keeping God at arm's length. You know that you should give more of your life to him, but you're very happy keeping him at arm's length. Are we turning away? Are we distancing ourselves from God? Is our relationship slightly strained and broken at the moment? Or are we returning back to him? So that's the second part. The first part is this metaphor of God calling them out of somewhere. And then there's this punishment aspect of sending them back to Egypt. The third part is actually more of a cry from a loving parent. A father's love letter, if you like. Once again, the I words come back. God speaking again. He's starting to agonize here over the punishment, just as a parent agonizes over the rebellion of their child. Nobody likes it. No parent says, well, it'll teach them things by the end of it. You know, no pain, no gain. It hurts because there is suffering. Look with me at the words. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? Because he's in pain here. God is agonizing over the fate of his chosen people. And actually, he then goes on to say, how can I treat you like Adam? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? And actually, if you understand what those cities are, you'll see that that is it's an interesting statement. So those two cities were destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah. When Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed off the face of the earth because of their sin, these two cities were destroyed at the same time. And this is a fate that God says, my children of Israel will not suffer the same fate. They will not be destroyed from the face of this earth, even though what they have done has hurt me so much. And with the Lord saying, my heart is changed within me, my compassion is roused. He can't do it. He's not going to destroy them. He is going to punish them. Now, we must not let our own experience of parenting be mapped over God. So, all parents are flawed. We all know that, both as a parent and those of us, because we've all had parents, and also for those of us who are parents, we know it. We're flawed. Whereas God is perfect. And actually, he is saying, this is how I do it. This is how I show my love. He's addressing an entire kingdom as though they were an individual. This isn't a sort of big proclamation across the whole. He's saying, every individual, how can I give you up? How can I hand you over? Even the ones for whom actually have really hurt me. He's saying, I'm compassionate and my love is aroused. We sin. Gives us a glimpse into the otherness of God. his love, his constancy, his surety, and how steadfast he is. And the final paragraph, I think, bears that out, which tells us a bit about, actually, they're coming home. They're coming home. Like that story at the beginning, I told that the mother loved it when the child came home, no matter what they'd done. And here, the story at the beginning is starting with child, son, coming out of Egypt. And now, at the end, he's saying, and they will come back to me. Verse 10, they will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion, and when he roars, the children will come trembling from the west. They will come from the east, trembling like sparrows. Notice the difference, though. They're not coming arrogantly and full of confidence. They're coming trembling. Trembling's mentioned twice. They're going to come as humble people because they have been punished. They have been told and shown what it is they've done wrong. But they will come home. God is calling them home, out of Egypt, back to home, back to the promised land, back to the relationship with God, back to the place they should be. Why? Because God is compassionate. He loves his people. That is the message of Hosea. In Hosea 11, that God loves his people like a father loves their children, despite what they've done to him. There is consequences, but there is a way back. And for each of us, we know the truth of that. We know the truth of that because this is a parable for us. That actually, God has given us a way back. He loves us, and he wants us to be with him. And he gives us a second chance. Because, as it says in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God shows us a way of coming out of Egypt, out of our bondage, out of the things which hold us, and back into relationship with God. And that is Jesus. For the Israelites, it was coming back to a promised land and obeying his commandments. For us, it is coming back through Jesus to call us home, out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, to a promised land. There ought to be judgment. We've all sinned. But there's not. There's hope because of Jesus. Jesus has come to help us live, to heal us, to feed us, and to save us. And throughout the Bible, we see this story. No more than in the story of the prodigal son. This is Charlie Mackesy. He's the sculptor. His picture of the prodigal son. Where the son comes home and the father runs towards him and wraps his arms around him. And he says, Father, I've sinned and I'm sorry, I've let you down. And he says, you know, just bring everything. Bring a cape and put it on him. Bring a ring and put it on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. My son is home. God is ever watching, ever waiting for us, his children, to return, just like he is with Hosea's message to the Israelites. And he's saying, through Jesus, I will never give you up. Jesus is calling each one of us to come home. So what is your Egypt? What is your Egypt that you're being called out of? For some of us, that Egypt is you're being called out of the fact you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You've never actually committed your life to him. So today he's calling you out of that and saying, come out of that. And come home. Or perhaps you do know Jesus, but you're slightly dogged with fear. Fear of what other people think. Fear of what people will say. Fear of the way that you live your Christian life. So perhaps that's holding you back. Perhaps actually your Egypt is oppression. That you find the things which just crowd in on you, which stop you really living for Jesus. Or perhaps it's loneliness. Perhaps that's your Egypt. Perhaps it's meaninglessness. The life doesn't make any sense to you. Perhaps it's addiction. That you actually have a life which is addicted to something. And that is your Egypt. That is your bondage. That is the thing which is holding you back. Today, because of Jesus, God is calling us out of bondage. He's calling us out of Egypt. And he's saying today, come home. Come home. Come home. And live a life that I want you to live. I know you're my child and I love you and I know you've hurt me. But come home. Because I want the best for you. But I want you to come trembling like sparrows. Because I know that it's nothing about me and it's all about Jesus. We have a good Father who wants the best for us. He sent Jesus for each of us. What is our response? What is our response to his call? God loves us as he loves Israel. And when we turn away, it breaks his heart. When we turn back to him, it gives him joy. Are we going to give him joy? Or are we going to continue breaking his heart today? It's our choice. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this chapter in Hosea. We thank you for the image of you as our Father, as our parent. And Lord, we're sorry that we break your heart on a regular basis. Lord, help us. Help us to put aside the bondage which is holding us, the things which are holding us back from following you. And help us to trust you 100%. Because you're a good Father who wants the best for us and wants us to come to know Jesus and be saved. Help us to let go of the things that hold us in bondage and help us to come back to you today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.